a mad scientist, sort of, Dr. Morgus. On January 3, 1959, the House of Shock with Morgus the Magnificent aired on television sets throughout New Orleans. Now, with the help of his assistant Chopsley and a talking skull known as Eric, Morgus conducted weekly experiments while hosting the late-night horror movies. Shortly before Halloween of 1959, Morgus's experiments released. Now, I want you to listen to a portion of one of those experiments from Dr. Morgus.
Your attention, this is Morgus the Magnificent. You should be startled to hear my voice. If it's any slight consolation, you've got plenty of company. You see, in this, the culmination of years of genius, I have perfected my greatest experiment. Absolute control of every loudspeaker in a world which has persecuted me with undying resolution. Step one has been effected already. There is no cringing, whining fool on earth who cannot hear my voice at this very moment. An infinitely more painful one will occur with the help of my assistant, Eric. Right, Eric?
Yes, Master.
Hit the switch, Eric. What you are hearing at this moment is a Thrall globule oscillator operating at microwave frequencies of astronomical proportions. Turn now and look at your loudspeaker. Turn now and look at your loudspeaker. In less than 15 seconds, a green, foul-smelling, iridescent bubble will emerge. It will be immediately followed by another, and another, and another. Drawn to human flesh with an irresistible attraction, they will overwhelm each of you with a voracity that will make you my slaves forever.
And in a moment, Morgus the Magnificent. Well, a long time ago in a far-off land, when I was 14 years old, I would run home from school every day and get ready for the treat of my life. It was watching Dr. Morgus on a Detroit television station at the time, Channel 2, WJBK. I would watch Dr. Morgus with his experiments, and he'd do the weather, and it was just, I got to tell you, it affected my life so much I decided this is one of the reasons why I loved science and wanted to go into broadcasting. So much so that I ended up being the executive news producer at that very television station that Dr. Morgus once worked at. Momus Alexander Morgus, also known as Dr. Morgus and Morgus the Magnificent, first shared his love of science to the people of New Orleans and Louisiana. He's been on and off various stations since then. He also appeared, as I mentioned, in Detroit and also was syndicated. He was the first horror host to star in a feature film called The Wacky World of Dr. Morgus. Well, several months ago, I started talking about Dr. Morgus and how much he affected me on this program, but I didn't know where he was. I didn't know if he was alive. I didn't know if he was dead. All of a sudden, I started getting emails, fast blasts from people, specifically around New Orleans, who said, George, Dr. Morgus is still around. We'll try to help you find him. And guess what? We did. So, with great fanfare, tonight, it's Dr. Morgus. Dr. Morgus, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Well, I tell you, I can't believe this. George, after how many years? 40 years. If you were 14 when we were in Detroit, actually we're still there, you know, we have a branch office there. 14, my gosh, you must be pushing 50 at least.
Yes, sir, I am. And I've got to tell you, Dr. Morgus, my day could not begin unless I saw you doing the weather at Channel 2 at the time, and then you started doing those introductions to horror films. But the one thing I never had a chance, when I was a kid, I could never talk to you. I was never able to get there, get to the TV station, though we all tried to camp out as kids. How did you get started into science? How did this happen for you?
Well, of course, I have quite a history. I mean, some of your listeners are not going to believe some of this because, you know, I'm from the other end of the island, as they say. But, it's quite a story. If you have a few minutes, I'm sure I could share that.
We have all day for you, Dr. Morgus.
Well, you know, George, I tell you what, we have yet to shake hands. Isn't that right?
That's true. That's true.
And one day I certainly want to fly out to L.A. and take you out for a breakfast or something.
Yes.
But, you know, my ancestry begins, believe this or not, 4,380 years ago to my first ancestor, Morgus I. He was the master architect who oversaw the building of the Great Pyramid at Cheops in Egypt, which, you know, is the remaining seventh wonder of the world.
Absolutely.
Incredible story here, and it's a true story, of course. Most people don't believe me, but... to this very day, you know, that edifice is so sublime. It really is the most sublime landmark ever built. You see, but there's a few things you have to know about it, and you know more about me, because, you see, the Great Pyramid, well, it was never, ever intended as another tomb to somewhat memorialize some vainglorious pharaoh. You see, it had other purposes.
Like what?
Well, I'm going to explain that in a moment, but
okay.
But it's obvious that these builders, George, had to know the mathematical building blocks of the cosmos. And how else could that pyramid have been perfectly oriented to the true north and incorporated with the value for pi, which is the constant to which the diameter of a circle can be multiplied to give you the true circumference, you see? Now, see, this wasn't rediscovered for another 2,000 or 3,000 years. Imagine that. And no one back in those days had such advanced knowledge.
Well, now I can understand why all this science was in your genes if it started way gone back.
Oh, it bubbles. It bubbles out of my skin, George. I live and breathe it science. I mean, science is something that if these idiots out there ever turn the schools to science schools rather than these playlands they have, George, one day we're gonna take over the whole city and the whole world. I just think science is the only answer for this planet, because it's something that we have to turn around quickly. But anyway, so I must tell you that the architects of the Great Pyramid were not of this planet.
I always suspected that, Morgus.
No way, George. They couldn't have been. You see, they were high intellectual initiates of the higher order. That is a fact. You could write that down. It's a fact. They were left here by space travelers who came here to help try to bring our civilization to a higher order. You see, the various measurements of the pyramid hold untold trigonometric values. You have to study that. And, of course, the building itself was intended as a celestial observatory. Absolute fact. And it was also a geodetic. In fact, it's still a geodetic marker that houses mathematical instruments. But guess what? Oh, the darn thieves. Can't curse well in the air, right?
No, you can't, Dr. Morgus.
Thieves. The darn thieves broke into this thing, and they broke into the inner chamber, which we now call the king's chamber. But let me tell you, it wasn't full with a king or a pharaoh. It had nothing but wonderful, futuristic instruments. Instruments of mathematical proportions that could have helped us move the universities and the books of knowledge up 2,000 years. I'm telling you, George, they got in there and they found a lot of metal. They thought it was just, I don't know what, they were looking for gold or whatever. But they probably used the instruments to make shish kebabs, maybe.
Well, you remember Edgar Cayce, the prophet. You must, right?
Oh, I knew him, George.
You knew him?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, listen, Edgar and I, oh, gosh, you brought up, you know, we could talk for hours here I know so much about Edgar. As a matter of fact, we didn't have emails back in those days, but this is incredible. You won't believe this. We used carrier pigeons.
Carrier pigeons?
Absolutely. They used carrier pigeons in the Second World War, did you know?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Well, we did it not because we couldn't have used telephones. There were telephones, but, you know, we were always being tapped. You know, the FBI, Hoover was around in those days, and he was a very curious guy. I didn't trust him, by the way.
Well, that's because of some... You were always on the cutting edge of science and incredible things.
Well, that's the truth. That's the truth. And, Casey, yes. So you know a bit about Casey.
Whoa, a lot. And I've got to ask you, now that for the first time I know that you knew him, did he ever tell you about what might be at the foot of the Sphinx in that Hall of Records that he thinks he saw?
No, he did. He did not, but he told me he would reveal it one day. You know, this is one man that believed that he could affect life after he died. And he has. You know, every day I eat almonds.
I do too, three a day.
Did you know that he's the one that came up with that?
Yep.
And guess what I read this week in one of the science journals?
What's that?
You should eat a handful of almonds every day, George.
I know, they're just beginning to realize what Casey wrote about.
Absolutely. Unbelievable man.
40 years ago.
Now here comes a clinker you're not going to believe. He was initiated into the higher order. He was a level 2, and he moved up to a level 4 before he died. I can't tell you my level because that's, of course, secrets of the order. But these people, we have people who are members now, and Casey was definitely taken in. He was initiated. And by the way, you know, other people who are with us today, some in this country, are initiated. Of course, my good friend up in Detroit there, I don't know whether you mentioned, you don't know Dr. Chuck Belowski, do you?
No, I do not know him. I've never met him.
Well, let me tell you, he's from your hometown. He runs our clinic at the Old City Ice House in Detroit.
Okay.
Right? Overlook downtown, overlooking the river there. Of course, the city doesn't know this. We do secret work, as you know. And
your experiments were always magnificent, except I have to ask you this, Dr. Morgus. They always kind of ended in... I hate to say this, but failure?
Something
always went wrong.
Well, we don't usually like to call anything.
And please respect those questions, because I don't mean any harm to you on that. But
no. In writing my papers, I made that very clear. When you do experimental work, George, things can go erratic. You know, I never use the word failure. We use, for the better term, I would say, unscheduled discrepancies.
I mean, I remember once...
Unscheduled discrepancies, George. Don't ever mention failure, please.
Yes,
please.
Yes, doctor.
I listening.
But, I mean, I remember once that you conducted an experiment that you found a solution for baldness, for example. And But you had a patient in, and he had more hair when he came in than when you were finished with him.
Well, now that's, you know, things can't go wrong. Sometimes the formula, you know, turns on you. You know, we don't have written formulas. We make up the formula. So therefore, you have to use some sort of a futuristic method of analytical thinking, analytical, concentration. To turn over something that you don't know the ending, what the ending will be, of course.
Did you like science when you were a kid?
Did I like
science when you were a child?
George, you're touching on things that are so... I'm telling you, first of all, you know what? Well, before I was born, I guess I loved science. You know, my parents used to talk to me while I was still in the womb. And consequently, when I was born, no one believes this, but I honestly remember the day I was born. It shows you how we're only using 5% of the gray matter in our brain, George. I, as a child, remember the day I was born. In fact, my father delivered me. It was something. They looked at me like I was the result of some experiment they'd worked on together.
To those who have not seen you, they have to go to your website, which is morgus.com.
Oh, yeah.
morgus.com, and they can get an idea of what you look like there, right?
Yes, they can, and I look very much like my mother, I must tell you. Mother was a beautiful woman. In fact, of course, her four teeth were very straight. We all favor our parents. We all say, oh, you know, we're going to do this or that. But the genes, that's the big thing. You have good genes, you've got a good life. And that's why I tell all of these young people, we have to think of ourselves for the future, not for a big night on the town here.
Well, I've got to tell you, you had such an effect on me when I was growing up that you helped get me into the sciences. And then you helped get me into broadcasting. As a matter of fact, I probably wouldn't be here today doing this national program had it not been for you. I wanted to get into radio and television. I wanted to investigate stories that you would do, the experiments that you would do. I ended up working at the television station that used to broadcast part of your experiments, WJBK in Detroit. I ended up there as the executive news producer.
That is incredible.
Because of you.
That's incredible. It shows you, George, that this is what's wonderful, not only about this country, but about the world itself, how things come back, how you never know. It's called the ripple effect, George. What we're doing tonight, do you realize the people we're talking to out there and how you affect their lives? I mean, can you think about it? You go home at night and think, imagine this program tonight, what intelligence it's bringing to people, what insight they're getting. And before this night is over, I'm sure we'll impart some interesting things for them. You know, of course, I'm called on. I'm a consultant. That's the only way we earn money around here. It's all done in a covert way, but you know what I mean. We hope to do that. But, George, you really touch me. You humble me by telling me that. You know, I love to hear that. I run into people and say, you know, doctor, you have inspired me to this and that, and I say, well, that's why I'm here. The higher order will give me medals one day when I'm called.
You had a weather robot called Ormsby.
Oh, yes, Ormsby.
I was so, I don't know, taken in by the things you did. I went out and found my best friend in school. His name was Larry Ormsby.
Oh,
I mean, what are the odds of finding that? I mean, Larry's out in California somewhere, and he listens to the program all the time. He probably just fell off his chair listening to this. But, I mean, I wanted to just read you just a few messages from people. I've got this computer that's very state-of-the-art, Dr. Morgus. I've got someone from Texas that says, this is a great show. I love Morgus. He's spooky. Here's another one, Pat from Glendale, Arizona. Dr. Morgus is the greatest. And it just keeps coming and coming and coming. Morgus is on. I'm excited. I mean, all around the country. But yet your experiments were conducted primarily where? In New Orleans and in Detroit, right?
Yes, that's right. And we have a few other covert locations, you know. New Orleans is quite a place for something like this. And I'll tell you something, that if you had a map, you would see why the higher order wanted me here. The location was chosen, you see, because of its geodetic location. We are on the 30th parallel here. Ah. And if you follow the circumference of the Earth, you'll find out that the Great Pyramid is exactly on the same parallel. Okay, so there is something going here. Okay, I won't go into the esoteric, you know, explanations here, but you can understand that. Now, both locations, of course, will mark us now for those of the higher order. And, of course, another reason, New Orleans is the only city on the 30th parallel where you really can't get arrested for what they call gross misuses of the microscope, if you know what I mean.
Ah, yes, sir.
So I'm very happy here, and it's such a gay town. I mean, it really is, and we do a great deal of work. Of course, I'm located in the French Quarter of New Orleans.
Oh, I was there with the Navy for a couple weeks there in that area.
Still talking about you, Joe.
Are they? Well, Dr. Morgus, you stay on the line. We're going to take a quick break, then we're going to come back and talk a little bit more up until the top of the hour. And can you stay next hour as well and just take questions from people?
Well, I, you know, I'm a night hawk. I go to sleep at 10 in the morning.
Excellent. We'll do that, because what we will do next hour, those of you can ask questions of Dr. Morgus. Now, we'll be back with Dr. Morgus in just a moment, but first, I want you to hear this.
They said I was mad and ostracized me. They called my experiments a catastrophe. They laughed at the autopsy I did on a man who was still alive with a pulse in his hand. But what do they know about life and death? How was I to know he was holding his breath? Who are these idiots to criticize and can't see my genius to recognize? It was I, Morgus, who performed the first organ transplant, but being the appendix, they turned down my grant. Oh, yes, call me mad. Say revenge is my aim. For I've developed an experiment that will drive them insane. Electronic bubbles that transmit through the air and emerge from this loudspeaker to their skin and their hair. It radiates the brain and turns it hazy, then short circuits all thinking and will drive them crazy. So here is a warning. Get ready for the surge. A giant iridescent bubble is about to emerge. Now I switch on the power to show what I mean. And here come the bubbles from my ingenious machine. Now up with the power. No, wait, we've got troubles. The stupid machine is reversing the bubbles. Now, my life is in danger. How could this be? The bubbles are now consuming me.
That's Dr. Morgus, and because we are slamming his website, if you want to take a picture of and see what Dr. Morgus looks like, he's on the coasttocoastam.com website, and we'll be back with him in a moment. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie with Dr. Morgus, Momus Alexander Morgus. Dr. Morgus, how did your parents give you that first name, Momus? Who'd they name you after?
Well, George, it's a long story, as most of my background indicates here, but Momus Alexander Morgus was given to me by my, the Magnificent was given to me at the university for my wonderful experiments, but that's a story for another day. Momus, of course, is a famous, as you know, Momus is a Greek god. My mother thought I'd be a Greek god of some sort, you know. But nonetheless, and Alexander was the greatest of all, you know, Alexander the Great. They put that name on me so that I would, you know, this was a terrible thing, but they were very clever people. They wanted me to live up to such names. And of course, I've almost exceeded that for sure. And Morgus is the name of it. Goes back to the Great Pyramid. We know that. But, you know, I go back to my dear mother and father. They were both scientists. And they began communicating with me, like I say, before I was born. In fact, I could tell you this. As a child, I was totally spoiled. They gave me every scientific book I demanded. And of course, by age five, I'd already mastered the differential calculus.
Did you look at five as you look now, for example, or the picture that's up on the coasttocoastam.com website?
I looked exactly like that. You know, I probably had deeper dimples, you know, but my mother never cut my hair, which she thought was beautiful. She said, son, you are beautiful. And I said, Mom, are you sure? And she said, son, let me tell you, she said, you know, there is no beauty without some strangeness in the proportion.
I have
never forgotten that, George.
So right. So right.
You know, that's so true. So many people want to be like some model in Hollywood, you know, where they make themselves up to look that way. You know, if you or I got in front of a mirror with some fancy makeup artist, we could look like anything we wish. But let's get back to science, George. That's where it is.
Absolutely. What do you think of technology today, Dr. Borges? I mean, the Hubble telescope, the fact that now, you know, we've been to the moon in 1969. We may go to Mars in 20 years. What do you think of all that?
Listen, I don't stop thinking of it, George. You remember, I'm under the guidance of the higher order. And I know this is hard to fathom or believe, that I'm some kind of a guy trying to entertain. And I heard that poetic work of mine. I put out that album, by the way, to make money here, to raise money for science here in the New Orleans area and around the country. It's a CD. I just want to sidetrack you there, because that helps us raise money.
Well, how do we get it, by the way, since you brought that up?
Well, you can get it on the website.
Okay.
Sure.
So when it calms down, because we've hit it with a flurry of millions of people.
Well, I can imagine. George, I think you must have 10 million people out there.
Very close to that.
Well, in fact, oh, gosh. Excuse me. Oh, God. Wait a minute. My computer has smoking a little bit. Oh, my God. Chopsley, did you call? No? Chopsley doesn't know what to do, but he doesn't realize that thing's being hit by... I think the Al-Qaeda is trying to get in on it. They're trying to...
Chopsley, your assistant.
Chopsley is now my assistant. He's a very, very devoted. He's been with me for some time. Of course, he doesn't speak.
He never mumbled a word, did he?
No, he can't. I operated on him years ago on a little experiment. It's unfortunate what happened, but we don't want to talk about that too much right now.
Wait a minute. You operated on Chopsley?
Oh, definitely. He was in the school with us, in the med school there. That's a story. You know, it's a long story, but he was one of the med students, and we were doing something there, a little transplant here in the skull. But no one had ever performed a skull transplant. And I thought it could be done under certain conditions. And, you know, he ruined the whole thing by sneezing here and there, and it just messed up the whole face.
That's why he's covered up.
He is covered, yes. He's covered up. But I promised him one day, you know, when science gets a little better and I had time, I would definitely, you know, be able to fix his face. But that's simple stuff.
But you were so far ahead of science. I mean, Eric the computer, people didn't have things like that.
Oh, listen, Eric, I could talk about Eric all day. You know, he's my former assistant. Another tragedy, I must say. But anyway, he's now a cyborg. He's a molecular integrated computer, George. Nobody has a molecular integrated computer today.
No, not at all.
And I do.
You developed it?
I developed it, of course, with all the schematics from the higher order. And I'm telling you, it's a universal book of knowledge. I mean, there isn't anything that we want to know. And that's why... And I want you to keep this on the... Oh, yes, a few people may be listening, but...
Oh, yeah, just a few.
My building here, the old City Ice House, and even here and in Detroit, and our satellite, is always being surrounded and watched by the Federals. You know, they're out there 24/7 because they know what we have here, and they don't want the other guys to get it. I just know it. But yet I have never accepted one dime, nor will I, from any foundation or any federal grant. You know why, George?
Why?
They want to run you. They're going to make you do it their way.
That's true.
I mean, Edison, you know, he didn't need any money from those guys. You know, did Isaac Newton, he didn't need any money from those guys.
No,
they're not going to run me.
Were you ever approached by big corporations who wanted to either buy your ideas or steal them?
No, they don't approach. They just come in and steal. They stole everything. I invented the Internet. You know, nobody's going to believe that. The Pentagon got that thing from me. I could go back. I could just tell you all the different things I've created. I'll tell you something right now. I've gotten a dime out of it. You know, I'm back in the 50s, George. In the 50s, let me tell you. And you were just a little guy then.
Yeah.
I came up with the Morgussatronic Electro-Celestial Intercommunicator.
What the heck is that?
That's that cell phone you're carrying around.
Oh, my God. You came up with that?
Absolutely. But I couldn't promote the thing. I didn't have anybody to talk to back then. I was too busy. So I put the thing aside. So they came in. They came in the lab one time. Come how they got it. And I let it go. Didn't get a dime. They've stolen everything I've come up with.
They're making billions on this thing now, Doctor.
And I, you know, and here I am. Here, Halloween is coming. That's why I made that CD, Hershey Rhymes. I made the Hershey Rhymes CD to just raise a few dollars for science. Can you imagine someone like me, probably George, the last American, working on his own? I can imagine what Bill Gates was doing when he was in his garage without a penny in his pocket trying to come up with his computer ideas. You know, this is what I'm going through and have been. But I've got a great organization behind me, and we know what we're doing. Guess what power is, George? Power is knowledge.
It sure
right, Chopley? Right, Chopley? You should see Chopley snaking his head. Oh, we got it over them, Chopley. We got the power because we've got the knowledge. They don't. They want it, but they can't get it. And even if they put me away, they couldn't take it out of my brain. You know, I'll tell you to this very day, I have... Well, I better not tell you that.
Well, no. Tell me.
Don't tell anybody, George. I have Einstein's brain here.
What do you mean you have Einstein's brain?
Well, didn't you know? You didn't know the story about Einstein's brain?
No.
Well, you know, they kept... He donated it for science. And some idiot gave it to a guy to take to California from New Jersey or somewhere. Well, it was up there around Edison, New Jersey, you know, at Princeton or somewhere.
Yeah.
And the guy gets drunk somewhere along the way, and this thing is sold. And believe it or not, it's a long story. One day they're going to do a movie about Einstein's brain. But I got... Chopsley, bring that jar here. Okay, there it is. Oh, you can't. That's right, we're not on television. But it's here, Einstein's brain, and I'm still trying
to... How did you obtain it from this person?
Now, you know... There are people listening right now.
Yes.
In fact, not only the ones in radio and whatever, but there are people that are dropping in on us in this country, looking down on us.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things we're going to have to avoid tonight.
I understand.
Believe me, you will be the first I would like to tell about this, because you are a powerful man, George, and you communicate with some of the people we like. And you will know everything I know about that. I'll tell you that. Especially after us getting back together after 40, how many years?
40 years.
40-some-odd years, I guess. It's incredible. How did I ever know this? Well, it happened. Anyway, where were we before? I was talking about my CD, Hershey Rhymes.
Yeah, and we'll wait until your website subsides a little bit. Right now, I think it's in shock.
Listen, it's still smoking here. I can see it. It's incredible. And, you know, I don't want to make too much noise. I hope it doesn't blow up, because my landlady, Mrs. Fetish.
Fetish?
Mrs. Alma Fetish is her name.
Did you ever get married?
Married?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I forgot about that. Yes, and I did forget about getting married, because I'm married to science, George. But I'm going to have to do something about that, you know. I have dated, believe it or not. There's one girl. I gave her some of the best Wednesday afternoons of my life. She didn't appreciate it. So I had to put it on side. But, as a matter of fact, I must tell you something since you brought the subject up, and I may give a little plug here. You see, I do run ads in the personal column. but I won't do this internet thing, you know.
No,
because of the rigorous...
Well, but it does work for some people, I guess.
Well, that's true, but you see, I have to look for someone that...
understands you.
Well, not only that meets the rigorous inspection. You don't think I'd go to some singles bar and marry somebody just because they look like they were nice.
No.
And that's what half the world does, you know.
And you don't care about appearance. You're more into the soul of someone.
I think you hit a nerve there, George. You're a brilliant man, you know that? You did. You're right. And I wish more people would do that rather than buying substance or like pictures, you know. They're sold. You see what? They see a picture, they got to go out and look like it. That must be awful to things like that.
I wonder... Did anybody ever approach you in those early days because of your experiments? And, you know, they wanted facelifts and things like that?
Oh, yes, I tried some of that stuff. I got sued. Well, yeah, we're going to talk about that. I've had a lot of problems with that. And, of course, now I get them to sign a release, you know.
Just in case.
Malpractice. Oh, yeah, but I got around that.
But you're not a medical doctor. You're a, like, a PhD type, I guess, right?
Well, I'm all three things, George. I mean, I have to do that. You have to be, you know, I've got to work in all branches of science, medical science, you know. I'm in every kind of thing. You know, right now, I'm dangling in quantum physics and molecular genetic engineering. I love it. I love it. I cannot stop thinking about it. And it's just part of my life. But yes, medicine is tremendously interesting because there's some breakthroughs coming, you know, all the new research, and I've got it all here, but I can't give it out yet.
Of all the experiments, Dr. Morgus, that you conducted in your whole career, your entire career, is there one that just to you is the most fascinating one that you've ever done? Granted, they probably haven't worked out, but is there one that you really enjoyed?
Well, I'll tell you, there's so many. It's just hard. You know, it's just like your last good cup of coffee. That's the best one, right? But, yes, of course, the one I have now is one of the biggies. It's, as you know, the speed of light is 186,282 miles per second. George, I am the one that discovered the speed of dark.
What is the speed of dark?
The speed of dark. You see? Nobody's ever thought of it, George.
It does it even have a speed?
Absolutely, George.
I bet.
Think about this.
I
know,
bet
I was
it's...
talking, you know, Stephen Hawking.
Well, yeah.
You've heard of him.
Sure. He's changed his theory on black holes, by the way.
Oh, listen, this guy, he was a student of mine. You don't know enough about what the higher order is all about yet, George. I tell you, it's fascinating. But yes, I have discovered the speed of dark, George. Oh, my gosh. I mean, it is so exciting. You know, no one else in the world has ever thought of this except me, and I'm keeping it a secret from one of my future lectures on television. This alone, George, has Nobel Prize written all over it.
I've got to tell you, Dr. Morgus, to those people who never had the opportunity to see you perform,
oh,
they're missing something.
Well, you know, we record everything we do here because people do not believe when they hear about it. So I said, okay, Chopsley, we're going to get the stations to leave those cameras. See, the stations come into the lab here, and they have cameras up on the wall.
Yeah.
And this is why, George, if you remember back in the 50s and 60s, when I was in Detroit, when we first opened the old City Ice House lab there,
mm-hmm.
We were the first reality show on television.
That's true. Absolutely.
Isn't that right? I mean, all these idiots are copying us now 40 years later.
How did you end up, because you were doing these experiments, well, we're coming up to the top of the hour, so we'll just hold you next hour for questions, but real quickly, how did you end up introducing horror films in the middle of all these experiments?
Oh, gosh, I tell you, if I had a lawyer, I would have fought that to the very end. When they told me they were going to interrupt my experiments running horror flicks and stuff, I was really against it. But, of course, eventually I had to relent, and, you know, otherwise the higher order would have been very upset because they wanted me to get on television because of the messages that we have to put forth. But that's just part of it, and I'll be able to tell you a little more a little later on.
All right, stay with us.